to his missions meeting today, so pray for him. He asked a prayer for him, and so he's never been in prayer. He will. And we're going to talk to you a little while. A subject that we all have a battle with, we all have battles. Some have battles in other areas more than some others, but it's all a battle, amen,
with the flesh. And so I'm looking in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we'll start reading at verse 6. Of course, the prior chapter deals with David and Goliath, how God had gave victory over the giant. David was used of God. And now we find in the scriptures in verse number 6, it said, "It came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David into the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." Our Father, use your word. May it be a help. May the Holy Ghost teach it. May God, you get in it. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We ask you a blessing on the truth today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I want to use verse 8 and 9, if you look with me there. Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And talk to you a little bit about that. Now, you know, it's amazing how a song changed a man. You look at this here. Saul has put him over army here. He's put him over the men of war. Verse 5. Then all of a sudden here the women come out and start praising David more than he does Saul. And the tide's turned. And it's amazing how fast a tide can turn in somebody's life when they don't get the praise they think they ought to get. And I think it's a good thing to check your own heart and my heart. The fact of it is, of why are we doing anything? Is it for the glory of God, or is it for the praise of men? Now here the women praised and attributed more to David than he did Saul. And he saw it a threat, his kingdom. Even though David wasn't trying to take it, he saw David as a threat. Now David had done been anointed by Samuel in a prior chapter, and he was going to be king, but it wasn't yet. Saul was threatened by him, and the Bible said that, and then the days come when he would be king. But the word eyed there, you notice in verse number 9, Saul eyed David. The word eyed there takes the meaning of to watch with jealousy. That's what that means. He kept his eye on David. He became a rival to David became a rival to him. And he kept his eye on him. He watched him. He watched with jealousy because of what them women had sang, what David had done, and he didn't do. And I want to say this morning, and you need to put this down in your heart, okay? And I need to as well. There will always be someone to achieve more than you. There will always be people to get more praise, more opportunities, have more victories or whatever. We are to do for the glory of God, not the praise of men. And you know, the thing about it is, there's always going to be somebody if you're in that gear that you want to be the top dog, or you want to be the one that is recognized all the time, then you're going to be the one that gets your eyes off God and you want more praise. Now, you know, there's always going to be somebody to obtain more. Amen. There's always somebody better than you if you don't use that. There's no better position. Everybody's saved, saved. There's no seniority list of God. There's no place that a man can be any better than a man being saved. But your efforts, or in what you do as an individual, then there's going to be people that's going to achieve more than you do in life. And that's just a fact. But here's the whole thing with that. We to do what we can. It's not that I'm trying to outdo Brother Danny. It's not that I'm trying to outdo Brother Keith. It's that I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. If I can get my sight on that and say, hey, I got a fixed sight on what God wants and what the Holy Ghost wants, and then I got my eyes there. I don't have my eyes on somebody else that they got more recognition, or they got to obtain this and I didn't. Amen. We learn from them things. We learn from other people. But when we get an attitude, well, I've got to be number one. You know, it's hard to play second fiddle sometimes. That's why Absalom got in the mess he did. He didn't like the position he had. That's why he stole the hearts of the people. He used flattery and different things that he used to try to take David's position. And that's another subject in itself. Notice this verse here. I'll read it to you when I turn there in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. He says here, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. In other words, I'm not a wise man if I compare myself to one of you, or if you compare yourself to me. That's unwise. It's just not wise to do. They're so easy to do. People say, well, look at how they have it, or look how this one has it, or maybe he's a better singer, or maybe she's a better singer, or maybe he's a better preacher, or maybe he's a better Christian. And what you're doing, you're comparing one another. And I won't say this, you know, even as parents or pastors or anybody in an authority position, you got to be careful in what you say. If you put one above another, and that's what really produced the jealousy that come in the brothers of Joseph. His daddy favored him more. He made him that coat, you know, of many colors. We're not talking about something they personally obtained. Did not Paul say, run that you may obtain, that you might get there? But the fact of it is, we're talking about this showing favoritism. You know, God's no respecter of person. I know God had an inner circle of men that he chose. Christ did. He had Peter, James, and John as inner circle men. They got to see and do things that the other men didn't. That was just of the choice of God. It wasn't that they were better men than the other men. And a lot of times, you know, it's just the favor of God in all this. But the fact of it is, when you start comparing yourself, you go back. I got a whole nother message on this, but I'll just throw it in here. In John chapter number 21, when John was on the bosom of Christ, and Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. What did Peter say? He talked about loving the Lord, but he said, what about this man? What about this man? It ain't about this man. It's about you, Peter. It's not what this man's doing. You do what you're supposed to do. Amen. And I think that really the breakdown of a Baptist church is a lot of times through this kind of thing. I really believe that. I believe that, you know, if we can think like God does, and we ought to have the mind of Christ, then we ought to rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep, and love one another, and realize, hey, God's put people in the body as it pleased Him, as it prospered, as God saw it was going to do, bring glory to God. He put an arm in the body, put a leg in the body, an ear in the body. It don't matter. Hey, you can't change the position, or can't change what God made you. All right. And somebody said, I'd like to be like this. Well, praise God, you made it like God wanted you to be. Amen. That's right. I'm talking about far as an unchanged. You can't change who God made you. Amen. God made you particular for himself to glorify him. And when you look at this thing here, David just done what God put in his heart. He went and killed a giant. Here the women come out and praise. He did give Saul some praise, but they praised David more. And he got jealous of it. And then you start comparing, you know, comparing one another. And why is this and get this? And why is this and get that? I like to be like him. Praise God, I like to be like Jesus. Amen. That's who you ought to strive to be like. You don't ought not strive to be. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What he was saying there was, be an imitator of Jesus. That's what he's basically saying. Follow him. Thank God. I'd want to follow God. I mean, I was thought about this. The man of God is God's man for the voice, to preach the gospel, to give the word of God. The pastor is a local overseer, but he's not a local owner. Amen. That's right. He's a leader. He's not a lord over God's heritage. So that man of God was put in that place to preach because God put a calling in him and the pastor and lead the church, but he's not the Lord over God's heritage. And so I'd rather people to seek the Lord and follow Christ than follow the man. Now I know that seems hard. You got to follow the leadership of that man in the church, but at the same time, the Lord Jesus is who's the ultimate authority, who a man's following. We can't get in this comparing business with this preacher. You know, that's what happened in Corinthians. They was dividing up amongst preachers. They said, well, we want Paul. We want Paulus. We want Cephas. And what happened was there became a division in that church. What did he say? There's divisions among you. You're yet carnal. You don't have God in your mind. You got all these other things in your mind. Paul even said, I'd baptize none of you. Why are you talking about me? It's Christ. It's not me. Thank God. I'm telling you, you recognize Paul's writing. He never put a great emphasis on himself. It was always on Christ. It was always on what God had done for me. He talked about the calling of God. He said, the call of God is upon me. I thank God for that, friend. That takes pressure on me because I surely can't do it. If God ain't in it, I ain't going to work out, brother. I don't care how good of a man talks and what kind of orator he is. It's got to be the Lord. It's got to be God. And that's the glory of it. That's where God gets the glory. We don't glory in men. We glory in Christ. But if you compare yourself one another, you're trying to glory in men. You're trying to be like somebody else. And the eye of jealousy can grab hold of you. Listen to what Webster said about jealousy in the 1828 dictionary. He said, jealousy, the definition, is that passion or peculiar uneasiness which arises from the fear that a rival may rob us of the affection of one whom we love, or the suspicion that he already has done it. It means emulous, which means desirous or eager to imitate, equal or excel another. Contentious. So Saul was jealous over David's accomplishments and recognition. It happens in the church. It happens in families. It happens in life in general. That these kind of things. That, hey, I got my eye on this fella. And I got my eye on this woman. And what we're doing is we're taking eyes off Christ. We're jealous. We get this spirit of jealousy in us. Solomon, Song of Solomon says, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. That's what he said about jealousy. And you know what? There's some things about jealousy in the grave. Number one, it separates. A grave is a picture of separation. Jealousy and the grave separates. If you get jealous of somebody, then it separates. It brings sorrow. Grave's a place of sorrow. Jealousy will bring sorrow to the Spirit of God. He's easily grieved by a jealous heart. God help us. Praise God to have a heart not of jealousy, but thank God of thanksgiving. Jealousy will kill your inward man. It was jealousy that caused Joseph's brothers to sell him into the hands of the Ishmaelites. They said, here comes that dreamer. That's that one that had that dream and told me I was going to bow to him. Here comes that one of coat of many colors that daddy gave him that he didn't give us. Amen. That's right. That's what happens. Amen. You'd be surprised if you're not enlightened about this truth I'm teaching on of the jealousies that I see within church people, the jealousies I see and I fight within my own heart, the jealousies that I see amongst family members, the jealousies you see amongst brothers and sisters, amen, and siblings and all these things that people get jealous about. And you know what? You know what they'll do? They'll spend their time trying to obtain or have more than other people. Amen. That's right. I told my wife, we're going down the road. I was studying this thing, boy, and, you know, I was thinking about myself. You know, I said, God help. I mean, you know, we get these things in our heart and mind, jealousies. And I said, it said, and when I read in the Webster Dictionary, one of them was rivalry. Rivalry. And, you know, I was thinking about the athletic world, rivalry. You know what I mean? And I was talking about, you know, how these, how you get, you know, things in your heart. You don't like a certain team or something like that. And I said, you think that's jealousy? And she said, well, I guess it could be. I said, God help us. Amen. I said, I got to get that out. That's right. I mean, here's the thing. In life in general, when I look at Chris and I say, he's blessed, then I will say, thank God. Amen. He's blessed. I ought not look and say, I ought to have much as him. I don't know why he's blessed. That's jealousy. That's a jealous comment. I mean, to look at somebody all the time and try to compare yourself and got your eyes on them and wanting to have what they've got. Hey, friend, that's jealousy. That's what it is. It's a lot more than jealousy involved in it, but it leads to covetousness. It leads, my friend, not being temperate and all these things. You know, I mean, take Joseph's brother, and they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. And it said, this is a true story I heard about. There was some men running in a marathon, and these two men were rivals. And they was running, and it was a very close race, and this man won. So the city, they, you know, praised that man for winning. That's the way people, you know, they're idolaters. And they built this big old statue of this man. He had won the race. Well, the man that come in second, he had hatred in his heart and jealousy in his heart. And they said every night he would go out late at night and take a chisel and chisel on that statue every night. He'd chisel some on it. He was trying to chisel it down. It just angered him, and the jealousy had controlled him. And said one night it fell, but it fell on him and it killed him. And that's what a lot of people do. They'll chisel toward people that they're jealous of. They'll make comments of them. They'll talk about them. And they try to degrade them is what they try to do because they're jealous of them. And the thing of it is, you know, here's the point of the message today. We need to keep our eyes in the right spot and our heart in the right spot and say, you know, I don't want to have this in my heart. Amen. I mean, I see this thing. There's too many in our churches eye others and try to outdo others, always in a competition. It's not competitive. It's not that this man can pray better than I can. It's not this man got to sing more than I did. It's not this lady that got to teach Sunday school class, but I didn't get to. That's not about it. It's all a collective work in a church in unity to say, thank God I even get to be a part of anything that God lets me do. And thanksgiving to God for them, praise God, that succeed. Amen. Now, I'm teaching on a subject this morning that all of us have battled with because sometimes we get in that mode, we don't realize it, but the competition and that kind of attitude. Notice this here. I've seen jealousy affect preachers. I really have. And, you know, as a young preacher, when I'm a little older now, when I started out as a young preacher, you know, they said criticism are, you know, people saying you've done a good job, and I guess you'd say encouragement, either one can kill a man if he gets too much of it. And the thing of it is, I remember as a young preacher, and I can testify only myself, that when I started out preaching, I was used a whole lot. And when I'd go preach somewhere, and I'm just being honest with you, I'd want to preach better than them other young preachers because I wanted to be accepted. It's what it is, it was a lot of ignorance on my part. And that's God teaching. God has to teach a man these things that, you know, you are who you are. This man is who he is. And you ought to, listen, Philippians 2, it nails us. It said, consider others are... esteem others better than yourselves. That's what it says. If you're going to have the mind of Christ, then he said, put others before you. Esteem or regard them above you. Amen. That was the whole thing there in the writings that Christ did that. That was the mind of Christ. That was a mind of humility and gave himself for sinners. And we're to give ourselves and to put others before us. But I've seen this down through the years. And, you know, I keep an eye on it and try to keep a check on it in my own life still. That, you know, a man can easily get in competition in a church if he's a preacher. And you got several preachers in a church, then they start competing against one another, maybe praying, preaching, whatever it is. They try to mimic men. And I guess that that's an easy thing to do as a young preacher or a young Christian, is to try to mimic or try to be like somebody else, which God won't never be pleased with, because God don't want you to be nobody but you. That's just the bottom line. God don't want you to be somebody else. God wants you to be you. It don't mean you learn, don't learn. I learn from other people. I learn from other men of God. If I'm around them a long time, I pick up some manners of theirs. All right? But God still don't want me to be them. And God wants you to be you. And if you want to be them, then you're cutting yourself short on what God wants you to be. Amen? That's right. So remember that. Preachers, churches, church members. I've seen that get jealous of one another. One got a new car and the other one didn't. One got a new house, the other one didn't. One got to eat out and the other one didn't. And they say, wonder, did you see that dress she had on today? I said, no, I don't even look at it. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you the truth now. That's one thing I don't care 2 cents about. I just believe you ought to dress modest and come to church. Amen. Women ought to dress modest. Men ought to dress modest and come to the house of God and thank God for the clothing you got. But I do not absolutely pay attention to what color shirts and dresses and all that kind of stuff. That means nothing to me. And I don't believe it means a whole lot to God neither. Amen. That's right. As long as you got your clothes on, don't come in half naked. Amen. That's right. You ought to come thank God like a lady looks and a man looks. And that's the way I think about it. But far as I don't bother me. If I come in and see a man have a nicer pair of shoes on than me, that don't bother me. Thank God I'm glad he got them. Amen. Glorifies God. God let him have them. Give him to him. Amen. And if he don't have a nice pair, thank God. God glorifies God. I mean, the thing of it is, when you get in that kind of mode and you look at everything somebody's got on, looking at them, seeing what they got on, seeing what they're carrying, where'd you get that new Bible at? Praise God, I bought it. Amen. That's right. That's right. I mean, why is people so concerned? I mean, about what everybody else is wearing, what they got on. I'm going to tell you why. Because they want to know. They're jealous of that. They're jealous of other people. And they see, did you see what they had on? Old B.R. Lakin one time, the old fella come up to him and said, hey, did you see that organist's dress, how short it was? He said, no, you was looking in the wrong place. Amen. He said, what color was her hair? Amen. That's right. I mean, a lot of us looking at the wrong thing, looking in the wrong place. If you can't set your eyes and affection on Christ when you come to the house of God and get beyond some of this stuff, then you know what? You're no good for God. That's all I can say. When you're looking at other people, jealousy will kill you. It kills. It has no compassion. Jealousy has no compassion. It has none, because you have an attitude, hey, I'm glad they fail. I'm glad they don't obtain much as I obtain. Amen? That's right. God help us all to have the right spirit and the right eye on things. Amen. I mean, if I got what I deserve, I'd get hell. I'm glad God give me anything. Amen. I'm glad God blessed me, thank God. I don't brag on what I have. I can't take braggarts. That aggravates me. People bragging on themselves all the time. I'll tell you, them bragging on their children. You hear about that big job old so-and-so's got, making $100,000 a year? I said, well, that's good. But I'm glad God blessed him with it. But if he's thank God, if he ain't making but $20,000 a year, that's good too. Thank God. I ain't in that kind of stuff. That don't impress me. It really don't. It don't impress me how big somebody's house is, somebody's car they drive, and all that stuff. Thank God for it. Give God glory. But I'm not concerned about that. I'm not thinking about that. And I'm not jealous over the fact that somebody lives in this house, somebody lives in this house. That's all carnal. It's not of God. And when we get in that kind of mode, and that's our thinking, and that's what we look at, oh, this man achieved this, or this woman achieved that. You know what you're doing? You're getting your eyes off Christ and how He's blessed you, and He robbed you, and you robbing yourself of the glory of God, and robbing yourself of seeing what God has done for you. And I'm going to tell you what, it's easy to get discontent. It's easy to get dissatisfied. But I'm just saying this, friend, when you get your eyes on all them things, that's what you'll do. That's what you'll do every time. I've heard it, buddy. I've said it, seen it, I've heard it, and it's not no good. You see, here's David. He does something that Saul don't do. He could have done, I reckon, or took up, thank God, went to the battle, but he didn't. And now David, he, thank God, he's done all this and got victory to Israel. And now Saul wants to kill him because he won the victory. You know, the thing of it is, David, it says, behaved himself wisely. Behaved himself wisely. He did. Amen. I mean, them women come out singing, praising God. And Saul, he gets, that changes his attitude toward the man because he got ascribed to more than what Saul did. Amen. And, you know, God said He's a jealous God. That means God don't, He's jealous over the fact that you don't set your affection on Him, because He's the whole, He's holy, and He desires His people to set their affection on Him. God's a jealous God. And there is a righteous jealousy, but it's not sinful. It's a desire to be with God. It's a desire to have the things of God. It ain't something worldly or carnal, as it is here in the Bible. David behaved himself wisely, and God blessed him. You know, let me say this. I missed this a while ago when I was on it. Preachers, churches, singers, we don't have a chart here who sings. That's just not. Somebody said, do you tell people? I said, no, sir. I wait till the Holy Ghost tells me in the service. I don't know what God might want. Amen. It's not performing. It's glorifying God. That's what it is. I thank God for the good music. I thank God for the blessings of God. But one old fella come into old brother Dwayne King's church one time. He's just there for a service. He'd come several times before and asked Brother King to sing. And old Brother King said, well, I'll let you sing today. Said, old guy got up there and with that mic and doing all this kind of stuff, you know. And he got through and laid it down. And he said something about that fella getting up and singing, performing. Amen. That's right. I tell you what, brother. It blessed my heart to hear a good Holy Ghost song. Amen. That's right. Praise God. But all them entertainers, we're not in entertainment business. Amen. We're not in competition. Thank God. Amen. I tell you what everybody ought to want. They ought to want what's best for the local church. If they're not for God and what's best for the local church, then it's because they got a jealousy problem or they got a problem in their heart, my friend, of what God would want for a local church. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Hey, listen, what's best for the local church is what God wants. If we do anything less than what's best, then we're missing out in the local church. What was best? What was best? Well, David went and done what God told him to do. Amen. The thing of it is, if a man achieved something and God gave him great victory because God fought the battle for him, then everybody else said, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And David, you know what I mean, had the victory. Saul gets jealous of him, eyes him. Eyes him. You know, here's the thing. Only you and God know, and only me and God know in my own heart of where my heart is this morning. And I'll tell you what, there ain't an individual in the church most of the time and don't have some kind of battle over these kind of things. And it ain't, hey, I told one fellow the other day, we was talking about it. He was talking about tobacco. You know, I don't use tobacco, and God delivered me from it. But the fact of it is, you know, preachers that get on that and harp on it, you know, and I ain't trying to get you to, I'm not putting no advocacy on it, but I'm saying this. You know, they harp on that, but don't, you know, talk about that kind of thing. Then man talk about caffeine and all that stuff, you know. I mean, that's just bad to the body. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a man drink caffeine, that weakens the heart muscles. You know, I've never known, and I've been affiliated church a long time, 29 years. I've never known cigarette smoking to split a church. Never have. I never heard anybody stand outside a church and say, bless God, we got to get us another group in people. Man, I saw smoking out there. Never have. Never. But I'll tell you what, buddy, you get jealousy in the church and envy in the church and contention in the church and strife in the church and not wanting God in the church. I'm going to tell you what, I've seen that do it, brother. Amen. That's where people got, I don't like that fellow, what he said. Amen. That's right. I mean, the fact of it is, people, you know why? Because they wanted to say it. And I don't know why the preacher called on that man to pray. I don't know why the preacher had that man to preach. Because the Lord told me. Amen. And the fact of it is, a lot of things is said because there is a rivalry, there's a competition, there's something that they want above the other person, and all it is just jealousy that's killing your spirit. Saul ought to be praising God for David's victory, but instead he watched to kill him. And the thing of it is, Saul died on his sword. Saul died on his sword. David behaved himself wisely. Amen. That's right. I've had people after me before. When I say that, I'm talking about they eyed me. They watched me. And they didn't like it. But, you know, I learned in life that if you live for God, there's a lot of things you face. You face a lot of things. And, you know, God allows them things to come your way. Now, here's the whole key to it, and I'm closing. Here's the key to it. It's what you do with it, really. It's how am I going to advance with God? When I'm faced with things in life, if somebody says something about me, if somebody's jealous over me, if somebody is slandered me, or somebody said things about me, then how am I going to face it? And what am I going to do with it when I'm faced with it? And, you know, I've learned this, that I can't change things. Only thing I can do is do right and behave wisely. And, you know, the Bible says, overcome evil with good. Is that not what it says? It don't say overcome evil with evil. It didn't say, he said eye for eye and tooth for tooth in the Old Testament. Well, that scripture's not taken away. It's just vengeance belongs to God. It don't belong to me. I'm to overcome evil with good. If I can put others above myself and be second place in my heart, thank God, then I don't have a problem with it at all. Amen? That's right. But old height still comes up. Old height still jumps up. In my heart, there's old height sometimes. In my heart, sometimes I say, I wonder why I didn't get to do that. In my heart, sometimes I say, hey, you know, why did that person get to go before me? You know, that's just part of fleshly battles that you have. And God, help me to love people the way Jesus did. Help me to behave wisely in my life. And when God gives me some victories and God gives victories to people in the church, thank God, say praise God. I'm glad God helped them. Amen. That's right. Thank God. God blessed them. God gave them His. And you know, the thing of it is, if you don't learn to be thankful, not only for what God does for you, but what God does for others, then it'll end up being in your own heart an unthankful spirit. And God says in that matter that in the last days there's unthankfulness. There's an unthankful spirit. And God help us to be thankful. Amen. That's right. God does anything in the service. I mean, praise God, just be thankful. Amen. I mean, just think, we're a ball of flesh, saved by grace through faith in Christ. If God would come down this morning and touch us with anything, it don't matter who He uses, praise God. If He used that little old boy that turned 1 year old yesterday, and praise God, somebody come by and look in that little old boy's eyes or that little old girl's eyes and says, man, thank God He gave life to that and give a child to them. And God used that, say, hallelujah, thank God. God's done that. Hey, friend, we ought not be. We ought to be open-hearted. Want God to help us, amen. And no matter who God chooses to use in a church, it's a one-body thing, friend. It ain't a separated body. Thank God it ought to be all one. And praise God. It's about spiritual things anyhow. We don't come in here for carnal things. We come in here for spiritual things. That's what we come for. If we come for carnal things, then we're missing the boat. This is a spiritual place. I need somebody to help me in God. Amen. Whether it be that dear brother singing, whether it be that dear brother, thank God, testifying, that sister testifying. I need the Holy Ghost to help me. I'm not in the groups. I'm not in these schisms. I'm here, thank God, to give me something from God that when I leave, I can say, glory to God, He done something today for me, and it don't matter who He used to do it for, eh? Or who He used to get some help to my heart and the church's heart. Amen. That's right, praise God. It didn't because David killed Goliath, and Saul looked at him and said, well, he's a threat to me. God help, son. Amen. You ought to thank God He killed him. Amen. He was going to kill you if He didn't kill him. That's right. You ought to be thankful. Amen. And sing with the women and say, thank God there's somebody that done the job. Amen. That's right. Instead of looking at him and saying, I'll kill him. I'll smite him in the wall. He threatens me. And that's the whole thing with Herod back there in the day of Jesus. He threatened his kingship. He wanted to kill Jesus because he threatened him. Amen. That's right. God help us not to have the eye of jealousy. God help me not to have an eye of jealousy and not be jealous of others, but be thankful and praise God for what God does through in them and through them. Amen. Let's pray. Father,